glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Listening friend, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 17th, 2013. Thank you, co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo, for joining me on this, the Wednesday edition, and on Friday. I can't wait to have you back for Friday as we continue our study through the book of Acts. But thanks for being out here. And we have DirecTV guys working on the satellite dish and different things going on in the homestead here. So if suddenly somebody walks into the studio and says, now, where do you want this receiver, we might have to pause for a minute. But I have a question for our listeners, and maybe you know how to answer this. I'm having issues with raccoons on my deck three nights in a row. They've come up and they've torn up my potted flowers. They use their little paws or feet or whatever, and then they dig into the thing and they move all the dirt and the soil and whatever I've put in to help these things grow. It's all over the deck, and they've tipped over another one and dragged it about 3 feet away. So how do I keep raccoons from doing that?
I don't know. We have one in our attic right now that we're trying to get rid of, but he only comes at night, and he's smarter than the trap that's up there right now currently. So every night we try a different kind of food to see what he likes. Today it's hot dogs, I think, tonight, to see what he likes. But so we have a raccoon problem also, so I guess we're in the same boat.
I don't know. With the distance between our house, I don't think it's the same one. But, yeah, so if you have any recommendations, I know they make this coyote spray. It's like coyote urine.
Yeah, yeah.
And you spray it around.
I don't know if raccoons are too big. We were at the hardware store the other night, and they actually have an electronic thing that you plug in, and it's ultrasonic, and it's not supposed to bother dogs and cats and humans, but other animals and rodents it's supposed to bother, and it's a safe way of keeping them away. But I don't know if raccoons are too big. I don't know enough about raccoons.
Yeah. Well, this one, it's not only making a mess, but I repotted one of these plants, and I'm all excited. I'm getting into some of these hanging baskets. You see my little Babylonian gardens as you walk along the sidewalk. I have four hanging up, and I put them in these specially designed, you know, I went to Farm and Fleet and got these baskets and repotted it. Spent some hours. I never knew how involved it is to get all those roots spread out and put in the plant grow and then potting soil. So I got that all set up, and then I did a few on the deck, and I had one placed up where, you know, it's on a kind of like this bench on the deck, and he just trashed it, tipped it over. And so the next day I redid it and got it all set, watered it, cared for it, prayed over it, said, Lord, you know, this is your creation. I love these beautiful flowers. This was like, I don't even know the name of it, but it was like purple and white. Anyways, I get it all set again, trashed this morning. It's like, ah. Anyway, so if you have any tips or ideas, call the station today, 217-367-7777, or email me, maybe some suggestions, mark@greatnewsradio.org. I wonder if that monkey butt stuff, what was that stuff that Toss had?
I'm sorry, but you live on like a nature reserve, so I don't think you're going to get away from raccoons.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, the Singing Men, on Monday night, we had some new members join us. That was exciting. And men,
this was when you just reconvened, right? From your summer break?
Yeah, summer break. Actually, we'll be singing in Rantoul in a few weeks on August 4th, 6 p.m. at the First Baptist Church in Rantoul. But we had some new guys join us, and so that was a lot of fun. And you can only imagine, after the guys being off for a few months, how much the basses wanted to rip back into the tenors. And it was a lively bunch that Steve had his hands full, keeping all these personalities kind of under control. But it was a lot of fun, and we're excited about some opportunities. We're going to be singing at the Taylorville prison again, and I think we're setting up some other prison experiences where we get to share with the guys. But excited about the Singing Men of GNN. And men, it's never too late to join us. We meet each and every Monday night, 7 to 9 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. Come join us. Come learn about the Singing Men of GNN. So invite you to consider that, plan for it, and pray it up, and then just show up next Monday. Do you want to talk a little about what pastor recommendations, or what's the Lord been teaching you lately? Besides patient, love, joy, fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit, yeah. Everything else. Well, just a piece of scripture that came to me yesterday. I was doing some studying all day long. I've changed the way I prepare sermons. This last week was the first time I do this new way of doing it. I'm not going to go into the nuts and bolts of that. But it's much more intensive and it takes longer to come up with a sermon. But the personal end of the journey is much more rewarding. But it takes a lot more time. Probably add another 3 hours to the whole process.
I saw a posting you had on your Facebook page on like Monday or something where you had a photograph of your journal next to your Bible and some other resources. So what are you doing differently?
Well, what I do is I take whatever text I'm going to use. So we're chapter by chapter working through the book of Acts. So the beginning of the week, the first day is I write down longhand the entire text. And so depending on how long the chapter is, write it all down. And the idea is that as you're and write it down slowly. This should not be how fast can I write down the chapter in Acts. It's how can I sit in and as I'm writing, my eyes, my head, my hands, how I'm processing each word. And when you do it in a notebook and divide the page in half. The other half is your thoughts, not your thoughts you get from commentaries, not your thoughts you get from any other things, simply your thoughts and perceptions that you get as you read it and as you're writing it down. Things you're thinking as you're taking, the Apostle Paul says every word captive, and you're beginning to look at those words and try and understand
and
what they
mean. And make it obedient to Christ. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, and so I simply want to add this personal journey of really having to digest the Bible, not what's in my Bible. But I want to take it from the Bible, move it through, put it into my hands, make it, write it down, take a very personal journey with the text because I believe that, well, I would just say that in the last 2 weeks, God has spoke to me in ways that I have not had him speak to me before in preparation in terms of that. Because it gives me an opportunity and a space and a place to ask questions, a space and a place to be able to say, what does this mean? And not simply defer or default to all the books that sit behind me in my office, which is what I would normally do. I would say, well, let's read this now. Let's figure out what this person, what Daryl Bach says this passage is all about, or this person says this passage is all about. That still happens, but that happens further down the road after I've taken a personal journey with the text.
Yeah, but I know your pattern. Many times you'll read God's Word dozens, up to maybe 100 times. I mean, when you did the book of Jude, dozens and dozens and dozens of times where you not only became familiar with it, but you really had it on your heart and mind and soul and pondered it. But now you're taking a different step where you'll read a portion and then journal right there and then. But you also journaled before, didn't you?
Well, I've never taken the chapters and written them down physically. I've never taken them and written them down. I've typed them into a computer, but I've never longhand written them out in a notebook. The entire chapter. So yesterday, we're going to be doing the chapter 11 of Acts this next week. I wrote down the entire chapter.
Now, this
11.
Is at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad. For those of you that tune in on Friday, we're still in chapter 1, week 10.
We're a little farther down the road. So if you want to catch up, come to church on Sunday morning at 10:45, and you'll be in chapter 11. You go from 1 to 11 like that, so you'll be thinking you're on the fast track. So I started in verse 1 and ended when chapter 11 ended and wrote it all out longhand. I think it took 10 or 11 pages in a notebook. But just as ideas, as I'm writing down every word, thinking about every word, praying about every word, asking God, why is this word here? And there are some things that I've seen that I was like, wow, I never even saw that before. I never even got that before. So personally, incredibly rewarding. I used to journal before, but everything was after the fact. Everything was after the study. Everything was after all those things. I mean, there was a lot of notes I would take and compile, but this has added a real personal element to the journey. But yesterday morning in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 12, but there is a break in the Bible here, and most Bibles there is. He says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. And I love that Peter says this, and I wanted to read 1 and 2 Peter in tandem with reading the text of Acts in chapter 10 and 11 and those that I'm studying, because 10 and 11 and those are really focused on Peter in the book of Acts. And I wanted to read some of the things that Peter was writing then to get an idea of Peter's writing and who Peter was, because some of his writing in the Bible will give us a good picture of Peter maybe as a preacher too, what Peter would have been preaching as he would have gone along. And I love that Peter says, therefore, my brothers. So, I mean.
Now, where are we at again?
Chapter 1 and verse 10.
Okay.
And he says, therefore, my brothers. So he says, you know, therefore, we always got to ask the question, what's the there for? Well, there's therefore because he's making a transition. He's saying, look, you guys are my brothers. We're all in this together. Peter's not saying I'm above you or I'm below you or I'm different than you. We're all together. We're brothers in arms. And he says, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Now, some of us would look at that and we'd go, wait a second. How can we make it sure? I mean, what can we do to make it sure? I mean, this is that salvation moment, that calling by Jesus. How do we make it sure? It almost makes it sound like Peter believes that you've got to keep working to make it happen. And we know that's not true. We know when you ask Jesus, when you give Jesus that Jeremiah heart, and he gives you that Corinthians heart, that new, the old is gone, the new is here heart, that you've been radically changed. There's nothing more you can do there to try and make that sure. Then it would be faith with works, you know, that where you believe your works can somehow save you. That's not what Peter's saying here, though. Peter's saying your eagerness on the day that you accepted Christ should be the same eagerness on day number 20 of following Christ. It should be the same eagerness that you have 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 50 years down the road. Your eagerness from day one should be evident in that same place. And so you should be in love with Christ the same after following him for your entire life as you were on the day when you accepted him and then you baptized and came up out of the water with your arms raised up saying, thank you, Jesus. And so he's saying, be eager like that. Be eager like that. Because you know what? Your election calling is sure. Christ has made it sure through his shed blood on the cross. But he's saying, are you sure? Because if you're eager, you know, it's almost like Peter would be saying, I'm looking at you, and I'm sure that you believe it's true, because I see the eagerness you have in Christ. You're sure. You're sure he's the way. You're sure you've taken the right path. You're sure Jesus is who he says he is. There are some people that I come across who I know they love Jesus with their whole heart and their whole soul and their whole mind, but sometimes I think they're not sure. Sometimes I think they're really struggling. And Peter's saying, don't, you don't have to. Be eager. Have an eagerness in your heart and in your soul about that. And he says, for if you do these things, you'll never fall. Because if you're eager with Christ, what are you doing? You're following so closely behind him. You're Jesus, Jesus. I mean, everything you think is about Jesus. You're orientating yourself towards Jesus. Jesus for you is the answer to every question in your life. Not like you're crazy, like, what do I have for dinner? Jesus. What do I do now? Jesus. No, but what do I do now? Jesus.
Do you have your Jesus shirt on?
Yeah. Well, you should have your Jesus. It's a sovereignty issue, right?
Hey, quickly, just backtrack a little, and I'm probably pretty certain you didn't come prepared to preach and teach on this, but this is something that came to mind. But about making our calling and election sure, what are those words? What's that calling? What are they talking about in our election sure? I mean, I get the whole concept. We should be eager in our relationship with God, eager to want to share Jesus with others, eager to be enthusiastic on this is what Jesus did for me. So we're eager to share that. But do you have some thoughts on make your calling and election sure?
Well, I think it's the same thing that later on we would see the things in your Bible where you make yourself evident to all. What the work that Christ has done in your life evident to all. So if you're eager about your election and calling, if you're sure about it, it'll be evident to all people. You know, if you say, I love Jesus and I follow Jesus, but when we look at you, we go, I don't see Jesus. Then I think there's a problem. And Peter is saying here, live like your election and your calling is sure. Live like there's no doubt that Jesus is right there in your life. Live that way so that there's an eagerness of your heart. And this eagerness is not like eagerness like, whoo, it's a tenacity. You have a tenacity where Jesus is concerned. You know, where it's, how do I get more people to know who Jesus is? You know, excitement and eagerness. And he says that if you do these things, you'll never fall. You never fall. Why? Because Jesus is the answer for you. You're eager about what Jesus has done. And you'll receive a rich welcome into our eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think that rich welcome is Jesus saying, oh, good and faithful servant, come here. Good job. Thank you for all, you know. It's just Jesus' like amazing welcome into the kingdom of God. But look, he goes on to say this. By the way, the chapter breaks we have in the Bible, those were instituted in 15-something, I forget, when they were added. Normally, in the beginning, those weren't there. This was all just one big run-on document. But it says in verse 12, so I'll always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. Peter says, I want to remind you of these things. Why? You know what? Jesus said that too. Jesus said, I want to remind you of all these things. Why do you have to be reminded of them? Because we forget them. Why do we have to be reminded of them? Because life comes along and it begins to twist what we know. Because what we know sometimes is different than what's happening right now in this moment. We know Jesus is sovereign. We know Jesus is eternal. We know that Jesus has it all covered. We know that. That doesn't mean that when we find out today that we have cancer, that we don't weep. Doesn't mean that we don't forget. It doesn't mean that in that moment we aren't so overwhelmed up to our neck in what's happening to us that we forget that Jesus is right there and he's got us covered. You know, I think that's why in Matthew 28, and we talked about this before the program, Jesus says, you know, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and he says teaching them to obey. Teaching them to obey. By the way, it's teaching, not teach like one time, boom, you got it. It's teaching like progression, teaching them to obey. It means it's a long progress of bringing people back. Jesus earlier says crazy things like the kingdom of God is like an owner of a storehouse who brings out old and new things. And remember, the new things aren't new things like unblemished, brand new things. They're things that were known but maybe forgotten, krinos, and so are new, not revealed. And so it's this idea that we keep bringing these things out. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we study the Bible. Bible's not a book that we read one time and we go, man, it was great. The climax was amazing. I can't believe it.
Got that principle down pat, never to fall again.
Right. That's why we read it over and over again, and that's why it says that it's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. The double-edged sword meant to cut from either direction, because we need somebody to come in and slice and dice some of our preconceptions of what we think things are, to slice up and cut apart between the lies and the half-truths. So we have to be in a journey in the Bible. You know, Mark and I had a great conversation before the program about being careful not to worship doctrine for doctrine's sake, but at the same time being careful that we do use doctrine when we're walking with people. And it's the and both, the tension of the Bible, is that we're to love people and to wrap our arms around people, to show them who the Father, Son, and the Spirit are, but at the same time then show them how the Father, Son, and the Spirit have revealed themselves in Holy Scripture. And so any life that's lived apart from the Word or the Spirit or God's people is not a full life. The fullest expression of life is God ever present in your life through His Word and through His Spirit and then through His people. If you're missing those three things, any one of them, you're not living the fullest life. You don't have that eagerness. The eagerness that Peter talks about is understanding that God by His Spirit is there, that God by His Word is there, and that God by His people are there.
We're in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 10, the ending of verse 10. For if you do these things now, you will never fail. Does that mean I'll never sin or fall short?
No.
Oh, darn. Help me.
Wouldn't that be great, though? I think it says you will never fall. And I think that what it means is...
Oh, yeah, and I have my readers on, too.
Good job. You'll never fall. And I think that if it's the old adage, right? If you stand for something, you fall for nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that Peter is saying, look, you won't fall for some of those silly tricks that the enemy uses. Let's be honest, too. The enemy doesn't come and he uses, like, these big, elaborate plots against you. Just think about the last time you sinned. He generally comes with really silly things that he uses against you. I mean, most of the stories I hear about sin, now granted, at some point it becomes huge. It becomes very intricate because sin begat sin. It builds upon it. Look, I used the King James right there. Isn't that amazing? Shows you my background. But sin begat sin. It means that sin heaps upon itself. It grows. But sin at its minutest place is oftentimes just very silly. I share this story because this person has gone to be with the Lord, so I don't think that it demeans them at all to do this. But this person had come to me a number of years ago for counseling. And they had said to me, I had an affair. And I said, well, let's talk about that. I said, you know, he said, I want to repair my marriage with my wife. I love her dearly, and I want to come back home. And he didn't mean just metaphorically he wants to come back to a physical home. He means I want to come back home, back to that place where I know that I haven't separated myself from God. And so we kind of began to deconstruct why this happened. And at the core of it, you know what it was? At the core of it, the first moment was... this person and this person shared the same love of the same sports team. That sports team won. And after they found out that they won a game, they gave a woohoo and a hug. And you think in your mind, what a silly moment. Mm-hmm. What a silly moment. But it wasn't a silly moment. because in that moment, a seed had been planted that began sin, begat sin, begat sin, begat sin. And one of the most helpful things I could tell this person when they said, what do I do? I said, you need to get in God's Word. And they go, well, why? Why do I need to get in God's Word? I need to get back home. And I said, you won't get home till you get in God's Word, because you, my friend, don't realize that you need to live inside. You need to have fences. You know, doesn't Jesus say that? Jesus talks about taking the sheep out of the pen and bringing the sheep back in the pen. And he talks about during that whole process, the sheep only know his voice. So those who know Jesus, love Jesus, they only hear his voice. They're eager for him. But at the same token, they live inside of a pen. Now, that's not so that we live half a life or less of a life. It's because so we're safe. And, you know, the Bible sets us up some good boundaries and fences where we know where we can live healthy and whole. And it's not so that we can't experience life to the fullest. It's so that life can't destroy us to the fullest. And I said, you need to get in God's Word, because you know what? If you were in God's Word, you never would have wrapped your arms around another woman, because your first love would have been Jesus. Your arms always are wrapped around Jesus, and your second one would have been your wife. And the Bible would have told you how you need to honor and love your wife and do everything as though she was standing there in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, your problem is not, the symptom, one of the symptoms was what happened, but the real problem was the fact that you are not in God's Word. And it was really interesting. Over a course of a year or so, we walked together, studied the Bible together, helped to teach him to obey. And in doing that, he didn't worship Jesus' rules for rule's sake, but he worshiped Jesus, because Jesus is the only way. And that Jesus gave us the instructions on what that way looks like, and it's called his Word. It's his Bible. It's the Bible. And so I would encourage all of you today to get in the Bible. And by the way, the Bible's not meant so that we just read it alone in solitude. There are times and places where we should read it alone in solitude. But grab somebody and read it together. The Bible is meant to be a conversation between God and you and God's people. Once again, his Word, his Spirit, and his people. Get together and do that. I mean, this morning, for the little bit of time before we began to record the show, Mark and I had a very great conversation where we didn't agree on everything, and we agreed on some things, and at the end we always agreed that Jesus is who he says he is. And what a blessing it was to be able to discuss God's Word with God's people by God's Spirit and be changed by that.
And I think of that song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. And then how's it go, to be happy in Jesus? But
you're the hymn guy, not me.
No.
If I lead hymns, it goes south really quick. We'll always go to Jesus Loves Me or It's My Father's World.
Yeah, and the correct answer is always Jesus. Yes. Well, we hope you'll draw near to him today. He loves you, friend. He has a desire and a design for your very life that he wants to work in and through. Allow him to do that, walk in step with the Spirit's leading, and see what miraculous things God will orchestrate on your behalf for his kingdom purposes. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.